Hey guys, welcome back. Thanks for listening to another episode of Craft Your Career. We're so excited to get this podcast up and running. You can find us on Instagram at notjackiekerang and pete_c09. Give us a follow and enjoy the show. Welcome back, everybody, for another episode of Craft Your Career. This one is another special episode. We have our guest Sarah Rivera on with us today. Sarah's a good friend of mine, actually, former marketing teacher, who I love so much, and we're so happy to have her on today's episode to talk about her business, First Impression Resumes. So, Sarah, thank you so much for coming on today. It's a pleasure to have you on here, and it's so funny how time flies, and you know, the people that you reconnect with. We talk about this all the time, that you never know who you're going to reconnect with. And it's so happy to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really proud of you. And I, you know, it's so funny because, you know, being a former student, and time does fly, you know, everyone progresses so quickly in their careers, and it's such an honor to be here. So thank you for having me.
Of course. So let's just get right into it. Right, Pete. So it's, we talked a while back, I mean, not even a while back, probably, I don't know, a few episodes ago. Basically, like, we were talking about job searching. We were talking about, you know, finding, you know, your next job, or, you know, if you're coming out of college, you know, getting into your first couple interviews, and, you know, how to go about that process. So we talked a little to put on your resume, this, that, and everything else. So Sarah actually has a business in actually writing those resumes. So I'm going to let her talk a little bit about her business and, you know, kind of what First Impression Resumes is all about. So Sarah, please give us a little bit of background on, you know, your startup with this.
Well, thank you. It's so interesting. You know, I was Jackie's teacher, and I started teaching at Delran High School back in 2005, and I was in the business department. And because I was the low man or low woman on the pole, I got stuck with the classes that nobody wanted to teach, which was Microsoft Office. And then I learned all of the little nuances and the ins and outs of Microsoft Office Word, and who would have thought that that would be so helpful. But at that time, I was doing a lot of reading, and a lot of my writing skills, you know, my technical writing skills became more refined. And I read an article that somebody sent to me, and it said, how do you make money doing what you're already doing for free? And I thought to myself, like, what the heck do I do? And I realized that I help people with their resumes. So I started my own business, and I registered it with the state, and, you know, it was really exciting. My first client, I think I charged like $65, and I was so proud of myself. And I remember telling my parents, you know, I got my first client, and I made $65. And my dad said, how long did that take you? And I thought to myself, oh my God, forever. So, but it was so funny, because so much has changed with resumes over the last 2 years, let alone over the last 10 years. And it's been really interesting to see the progression with technology, with applicant tracking systems, with different industries, and really what they're looking for in applicants. And it's been a fun ride, because the resume is so important, but there are so many other components that are also important, such as beating applicant tracking system, you know, applicant tracking systems, and knowing how to manipulate your resume to beat those systems. And really, essentially, it's about getting that interview. So your resume is only as effective, you know, as if you're getting interviews. So it's been a fun ride. I really, really love what I do, because I believe in work. I believe that we're all supposed to work hard and do what we love and what we enjoy, you know, not necessarily what we're bad at, what we stink at, you know. I hate the word should. I hear a lot of people, I should be doing this or that. You know, we should really do a lot of soul searching to figure out what it is that we love to do, and then strategize to have kind of a plan of attack in order to get there in our careers. It's all stepping stones.
Right. We always talk about that. And that is kind of like the sole mission of our podcast, is, you know, talking to people, you know, just like you, or hearing advice from people just like you, or people like us. You know, it's like, everybody has their passion projects or everything, you know. There's people who are stuck in a 9-to-5 who are just like, I just need a paycheck. I don't feel like doing this. And they get into this like monotonous, like just like lifestyle, where it's wake up, go to work, come home, eat, go to bed, you know? And then it's like, there's nothing fulfilling. And then they kind of have like almost like a mental breakdown when they're like, what am I even doing with my life? You know, next thing you know, like, okay, I'm like 26. And I'm just like, what am I gonna do with my life? Like, I don't know, like I want a plan. And we talk about this stuff all the time is that, you know, monetizing your hobbies or finding what you truly want to do and having that game plan or that plan of attack, right? So that's really interesting when you, like when you're able to see that and put it all on a sheet of paper, put it all on like 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper. And, you know, I'm sure, I mean, I would love to hear like, what is the first thing that you look at someone on someone's resume? So just to give a little background, if I had a resume, I call you up and I say, hey, can you like kind of, are you like a consultant or do you actually start from the ground up? If I'm like, I have no resume, can you please write one for me? Or do you actually just take resumes and just kind of tweak them a little bit?
All of the above. So I like to have a conversation with my clients. So I always tell everybody, I write resumes based on where you want to go, not where you have been. So your resume is That's only as successful point. As its brevity and its keywords. So your resume could be beautiful. You could be wildly successful, but unless it's very poignant to the industry, to the position of where you want to go, your resume is worthless. So I always start with a conversation and I ask my initial clients, I have a consult and I say, where have you been? Where are you now? And then where would you like for me to take you moving forward? Because it's kind of, it's nice for me because I am always listening to people's stories and it's like Tetris, you know, like you're too young for that, but you know, you kind of like put the pieces together of a puzzle. And right. as I'm listening to someone's story, I am hearing more than what they realize in their job experience and what they've done. And then we kind of get to, all right, what's the $1 million question? Where do you want to go next? And then I extrapolate all of their skills and all of their experience and I position it. I never lie, but I position it so that I really bring out their skill sets that are needed for where they want to go. So, you know, sometimes people, I've had clients where they say, they send me their resume, they tell me where they want to go, and I'll say, oh my gosh, your resume is beautiful. What's the problem? It may not be my format or my styling, but it's very nice, right? And it's written well, whatever. And they'll say, it's not working. I had a client recently and she sent me her resume. It wasn't my style and formatting, but the language was great. Her experience was spot on for where she wanted to go. That's another thing. You know, you have to be within reach, right?
Yes.
And of your, it's a stepping stone. You know, we're not going to be a CEO, right, at our first job. But she said, thank you, but my resume is not working. I'm not getting interviews. She was applying for 6 months. So she came to my office and we pulled up her resume and we pulled up one of the positions that she wanted to apply for. And I taught her how to, I call it reverse engineering, how to reverse engineer her resume to fit the job post. She got that interview like that. She had an interview within a day and she ended up getting the position and she called me like the next day. She said, I need your help. I said, what's up? You know, she said, I need your help negotiating. It was like a day or two. I need your help negotiating my new contract. And I said, oh, yes, like I'm in. So they're the best calls. Like they're the best text messages. I need your help negotiating, you know, an increase. And I mean, a good resume is so important because I've had clients with an increase of $20,000 to $30,000 in salary, you know, so it really, you have to show your skills. But to kind of get back to your point, you have a conversation, you really have to figure out where does somebody want to go? And you cannot, I have clients and they say, can't you just write me just a generic resume of my content? And, you know, just so I have something to go with. And my answer is always no. And, you know, they're like, what? I'm paying you. And I said, well, I'm not doing it because your resume will not be effective. So you wasted your money. So essentially there's no point unless you really know where you want to go or at least somewhat of a direction, your resume is pointless.
Yeah, I find that it's so funny. I find that so true. It's like, I feel like a lot of people won't have, like, I feel like I have a different resume for everything that I apply to. Cause it's like, I kind of like do what you said about like reverse engineering. Like you want to look at that job description, because there, if you like, it might be a job in reach, but if your resume isn't tailored saying I can do all these things on the job description, then you're probably, then they're not going to be that interested. I actually, a little background on myself, I worked in technical recruiting for a little bit, and as much as I did not like that job, I did a lot about resumes and how people go through them and keywords, mm-hmm. stuff like that.
Yes.
So it's like, it's crazy. It's a whole crazy world that was definitely a little much for me, but it did teach me a lot. So I totally, I'm glad that you said that, because it's, I find that to be so important that you really need to make sure that your resume is on point for what you want.
It's crucial. And, you know, when I look at someone's resume initially, you know, they'll send it to me and everyone says the same thing. Oh, I have one. You just need a couple of tweaks, you know, and I'm thinking to myself, okay. But, you know, it's like a hairstylist, like, oh, I brought my own foils and I brought my dye. Can you just do it for me? Like, it's more than that. But with a resume, when I look at someone's resume initially, I try to look at it like someone in talent acquisition, like someone who's a recruiter, like somebody in HR. They have no time. They're so busy. And so I literally, it has to be so attractive and so simple. It has to be clear. It has to be objective, and they need to know exactly what you're applying for. And are you qualified for that position within a second? Yeah. And then it's not like you get an interview after that. I always try to explain to people that it's process. So, you know, you have to A, get past the applicant tracking system, which is I call them the robots, but essentially it's the computerized software that's meant to reject candidates. People think it's meant to accept. No, it's just meant to weed people out in the first round. Wow. Then you have some person, right, who is, whether it's the administrative assistant to the president of the company or someone in talent acquisition, depending on the size of the company. And they're going to look at it for a second, maybe three if you're lucky. And they're just going to put you into another pile. That pile is, I'll look at them later. And that's not even the interview process. Then you're in the I'll look at them later pile. And then they're going to sift through them a little bit more thoroughly. Maybe you get 5 seconds, maybe 10. And then they schedule interviews. So you have to get through all of those stages in order to be effective. So unless your resume does that, forget it.
Wow. Unless you know someone. I honestly, I had no idea. Like, I am flabbergasted right now. I had no idea that there was the tracking system, like a robot that was like out there, like just rejecting my resume. No wonder I didn't get a call back. I was like, literally when I was graduating college, like I, first of all, like, I just wrote my resume myself. I didn't know what I was doing. Like,
nobody does.
And then I was like, I graduated with a bio degree, and I was like, you know what? I want to go apply to these jobs. And I was just like getting so desperate. I was like, just sending my, like, I was stupid back then for doing this, but it's like, I was just sending my resume out almost everywhere. And I'm like, why am I not even getting a call back? I'm not even getting an email. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, like, I had no idea this even existed. This is all just like connecting in my head now from the past 10 years. But that is really crucial information too. And I love what you say about having a conversation with the person, because it you feel the integrity behind your work. And even when you were like, listen, like the girl or whoever came to you and was like, listen, can you just tweak my resume? And you're like, no, that's not what I'm here for. You know, I have such an integrity behind my work that either you're going to get it all or you're going to get none. And that's really like that I can stand behind a business like that, or even a person like that, because it's like, you are your business and you don't want to like put out, like, excuse my language, like half-ass work, you know, like I'm not going to half-ass this thing and then put it out there with my name and my company on it. Right. And it's right. Like, honestly, like I would hate that too. Like, hey, you're coming to me for help. Like, you know, but that's, I love to hear that, because like it's, you have such an integrity behind your work and you love to do what you do. Right.
I do. And I do love it. Yeah. I can't tell you how it's so rewarding, because I have to tell, I have so many like pets, like favorite types of client profiles, but you know, I have to tell you, I love when I talk to a client and they're so beaten down by a job that they don't like, you know, or a working environment that might be toxic or whatever it is, you know, and they feel like they're stuck. And, you know, to give them hope and to give them a change of scenery and an increase of salary, at the same time, you know, it's just wonderful. Like, it's just, it's so rewarding. I can't even tell you how rewarding it is. But some of my favorite clients are clients who have been working for 5, 10, 20, 30 years, and they don't have a college degree. They're my babies because they have so much work experience, but they feel as though they're not qualified for jobs because they read, you know, down at the bottom of the qualifications, you know, it'll say college degree, but oftentimes it will say preferred depending on the industry, right? Right. Obviously your doctors and your nurses and your lawyers better have degrees, you know, but depending on your industry, if you read closely, it says preferred. And so a lot of times companies are happy to have experience. And those are the clients that they need a boost, you know, and when they get their resume and they feel like a million bucks, it's just, they have the confidence to go out and interview for the job that they deserve. Does that make sense?
Yes. Oh, of course. And like, we talk about this all the time, how like, you know, whether it was your choice to leave the company or whether you're still at the company or whether, you know, you might have gotten unfortunately let go. And now you're like, what do I do now? I don't even know where to start. And you're in such like, there's been times like where people are in such like a discouraged mental state where it's like, I could imagine how that like they must feel walking into your office, like literally like beaten down, and you're just like, but for you to like pick them up, and it's like, I feel like if I was going to walk into your office, I couldn't leave not smiling, you know, or not having a little bit, or not having even just a little bit more confidence in myself. And that really, I feel like settles even like better, you know, like knowing that, like instilling that confidence back in someone is mm-hmm. just, it's priceless.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I love it. And I stand behind my work. You know, if my clients, when they leave me, I give them not only a resume, but I give them an education in how to adjust it moving forward, you know, so they have to know how to adjust your own resume. It's like an art and a science. And I always say, if you're having problems, if you're not getting interviews, call me, you know, we'll figure it out, you know, because I just want everybody to be working in a job that they love. I mean, that's just it. So it's been a great ride. It's been such a great ride.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, that's awesome. I think it's great. I love, even like, I'm not like the most A+ resume writer, but like sometimes my friends will just be like, hey, can you just look at it? And I'll like change up a little bit, and they'll be like, oh, I got an interview. I'll be like, yes.
Yes. See? Yes. And it just is the simple, it could be a simple change, you know, and it makes all the difference in the world.
What I actually find a lot of some of my friends have sent me resumes is they make these 2-3 page long, you know, things, and they have like 3 years of work experience. I'm like, I was like, you guys got you're not there yet. Like what are your situation?
So that's such a good question. So I get this often. A couple of years ago, it was a big trend that everybody had a one-page resume. You know, if Elon Musk can have a one-page resume, so can, you know, all of us. We're Joe Schmoes, right? However, depending on the industry, depending on the experience, there are a lot of my resumes now are 2 pages. Recruiters now have kind of come around in the last year or two, and they're looking for more specific results in what you did in those positions. So many of my resumes now, if not most, are 2 pages. Someone who's entry level right out of school should have a 1-page resume. However, mm-hmm. one of my very good friends just graduated from Rutgers this year. She has a 2-page, zero fluff resume. She spent a year in Bosnia. She has worked for nonprofits. She has worked for government. She's worked in the private sector. She has been working essentially since she was 12, doing internships and having paid positions. Her resume is incredible. She actually had to start cutting things. Because if she were to make a CV, it would probably be closer to 3 pages. And it's loaded with content. I'm so proud of her. She got scholarship after scholarship after scholarship. She graduated with 20 grand in the bank. She's the rare case, right? But most college, she set the bar high actually for my kids. So I'm like, guys. most fresh out of school, probably 1 page, you know, there could be an exception, but they're rare. You know, everybody else, it's just, you're just building, you're building, you're building, you know. It depends on the industry. Really depends on the industry.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like, I feel like sometimes there is enough, content to get you to, you know, page two. But I feel like a lot of times, especially like you said, like in college, if, like, people try to fluff it up to like say all these different things, but really need to kind of just get straight to the point. Cause it's like, you're coming out of college. I feel like, you know, a lot of people, like, you might have an internship on there. It's probably mostly like college courses where you went to college, your GPA, stuff like that. So it's, you don't want to fluff it up too much, cause they know exactly, like, they know that you really haven't done that much yet. Like, you're fresh out of college.
And you don't need to write a job description for food server, right? Like, everybody knows what that entails. You know what I mean? So I think that people, right, they try to make something more than what it is. And it's, white space is your friend. So it's better to have a little bit of white space.
Yeah.
I hear you. So, I mean, before we take a break, question, speaking about like the food service thing, like, this is something that I didn't know, and that maybe it was advice from a friend or a parent who said this. If you're applying for, I mean, your first job out of college, and you've worked at like just some really small food retail stores, maybe they're not like, you know, the skills there or whatever is totally different than what you're going for. Are you like, should you keep them on your resume, or should you actually just take them off and list like your strengths and your like other things that you're experienced in, like certain software programs or something like that?
Such a good question. I think if you're 5-10 years into your career, no, you know, but if you are, or 2 years into your career, right, it's just to get you that first entry level job. Personally, if I see an entry level, if I'm hiring an intern, or I'm hiring an intern for my husband, then I want to see that they worked. So when I see somebody worked, maybe they have a 3-point-something GPA, but they worked full time, whether it be a food server or whatever they did. To me, that's somebody who can multitask. That's somebody who can, right, who can balance a busy schedule. For example, one time we were hiring an intern for my husband, and we were down to two candidates. One was a young lady who had a 4.0. She never worked a day in her life. And I thought, you know, that was really impressive. My husband came to me and he said, oh, you know, she looks great. And I said, let me see the other one. And the other one was a young man who had, I think it was a 3.4, 3.5 GPA. And they both went to the same school. They were both, you know, graduating with business degrees, but he worked 30 hours a week or 20 some hours a week,
wow,
doing another job that wasn't a career job. Maybe it was, you know, I mean, I don't know, maybe it was a valet parker. I don't know. I don't care. But I said to my husband, I want to hire him because it shows that he can balance, and he still did well in his grades. This other young lady, she's never had any other experience, you know, unless you have, you know, sometimes what's really good to have student leadership. You know, so if you're in college and you have student, you were president of this club and that fraternity or that sort, you know, whatever, that stuff is great to have. But I also think it's, there's such a value to having a job, having a boss, earning some money. You know, I personally, I find, I love when I see that kind of work ethic, you know, in my clients.
And you're right, because with the GPA, you know, full-time student job, it just yells time management skills. And that's what I feel like a lot of employers look for. You know, you want someone who's able to multitask and, you know, have great time management skills. So like, that's awesome. That's a really good advice. But we're going to take a short break now. We're going to hear a little bit more from Sarah and First Impression Resumes in the break. So we'll be back.
Sounds good.
Hi, I'm Sarah Rivera, owner of First Impression Resumes. Thank you to Jackie and Pete for having me on to their podcast. It was a lot of fun. My cell is 609-238-5892. You can email me at sarah@firstimpressionresumes.com. You could find me on my website at firstimpressionresumes.com. Or you could Google me on Chrome, Resume Writer Cherry Hill, and I'm one of the first ones that pop up. So thank you so much.
Okay, welcome back, guys. So we were just talking to Sarah about her business, First Impression Resumes, and she was kind of giving us a little bit of an insight to, you know, how these resume tracking systems work. And that's actually something I kind of want to expand more on. And actually I want to like leave it off to Pete to kind of talk about this, because Pete, you mentioned you were a recruiter back then, and you know, you were the person behind this, you know, the resumes on the opposite end, right? So tell us a little bit more about things you would see, or that, I guess, after that tracking system kind of like, you know, might reject the most, you know, I guess, Pete, you'd be the guy who got the leftovers, right?
Yeah, so ours, a little bit differently. So we actually kind of pulled resumes rather than like got them sent to us. We had, because we are an agency recruiting, so we actually found people for other companies. So if they had, it was more like high level IT people, so they were a little harder to find. So we would actually have a keyword search of like a big job. It was like a big job string thing, and you would say like, if they had this skill plus this skill and, you know, whatever. And then they would pull the resumes that would match that. So I know I could at least speak for like agency recruiting, that they will keyword search, and that's kind of what we were talking a little bit earlier. So this is what I did want to ask you though. So we started to talk about like these words that aren't exactly, I call them like, they're not exactly tangible words. I guess kind of like in the sense of, it's not a defined skill. Like I know how to use Excel. I know how to do this. Like we were talking more about kind of like an energetic, a time management kind of person.
Soft skills.
Yeah. Soft skills. It's so funny. It's like, and maybe it just depends on the industry that you're in, but, you know, I've had people say to me before, like, you don't want, if you have actual, like you have the hard tangible skills, you kind of want to not put that on there. It seems a little fluffy. You know, what's your whole take on that?
When I'm reverse engineering with a client, you know, with COVID, you know, I've been sharing the screen and working, you know, with people, you know, virtually, but, or, you know, before COVID in my office, and I will show people how to beat the applicant tracking system. And their response is often like, what? Like, what did you just do? Because you actually have to use the language from the job post and put it into your resume for each job. Sounds daunting. It is. It's not for me. I do it in my sleep. I do it all day, every day. But if you're new to it, it is daunting. It is time consuming. But, you know, regarding the soft skills I was telling you on the break, I had a client, and what was he applying for? It was an entry level position, and he was applying, it was a branding job. It was a branding job, and he was a copywriter. It was for a copywriting position. And they said that they were looking for a creative, witty, technical writer. So which is true. And he was creative, he was witty, and he was a beautiful writer. So in his soft skills section, I put creative, witty, technical writer, and he got the interview. I mean, so I think that recruiters are so, because it, Jackie, you were saying earlier that you would go and you would apply to 1,000 jobs and you didn't really think about it. You just hit apply. You were so frustrated with the situation. Well, the problem is it's so easy to just click send on all of these jobs. The people are not really taking the time to personalize the resume to the job. And I think that recruiters on the back end are fed up. I mean, here they have thousands of resumes that they have to sort through. So my thought is, let's make the recruiter's life easier. What is it that you're applying for? And are you qualified? And do you fit? Yes, yes, yes. They just want to fill the position because they have a million other positions to fill and they want to keep it moving. You know, they want to make sure that their teams internally, if it's an internal recruiter, are happy. And obviously the external recruiters want a commission, you know? So it's just, you have to play the game. And, you know, it's an art and a science to kind of read through a job post and to pick out what is it that they want. You know, people ask me all the time, well, how do I know what's important and what's not? You know, oftentimes if you see a job, if you see a description or an adjective that's used often, or if you see a specific skill set and you see that it's listed multiple times within the job posting, it's going to be important, right? And that could be a soft skill. It could be a software skill. It could be anything, right? So you just have to really kind of comb through the whole thing and see what it is that they're looking for.
Yeah.
That's really good advice.
Yeah. And it's so funny. It's because like you said, like you got to keep up with the trends. Cause I feel like you know, a couple of years ago, people were like, oh, don't put that in there. It's, that's fluff. Like, you, like, they're going to think you're just like, I have no actual skills, so I'm going to put this down. But I think that, you know, with how like niche jobs can get now, you know, they want to see stuff like that. And especially if it's in the job description, it's super important for it to be in your resume.
Right. And I think that, you know, we have to pay attention to certain markets. So we are all in the, you know, the Philadelphia market area. And there are certain industries in Philly that are totally saturated. Like marketing right now is so saturated. Yeah. You have to really know your industry. You know what I mean? You have to know what's going on. And the more that you can like get yourself out and specialize in your skill set for that job or whatever, it, like just the better you're, the more effective it will be.
Definitely. Like that's a great tip. I mean, like, especially if you have, you know, younger people, you know, college graduates or anybody who's maybe had their entry-level job and is now looking to step up, you know, or, you know, that mindset when you're frustrated in a role and you're just like, I need to get out and I need to get out now, right? Mm-hmm. I was in a role like that last, a little over a year ago. I was in a role where I was like literally mentally having a breakdown at work almost every other day. Like, I remember having such a bad day where I just left and I didn't come back for 3 days. I just put in PTO and I was like, I need to remove myself from this. And during that time, I was on like Indeed, I was on LinkedIn jobs, and I was just like, I need to interview somewhere. And whether you're there or, you know, it's really important. You need to read these job descriptions. A lot of people just look at the headline, oh, marketing assistant or, you know, sales rep or whatever. And they like, that's a good point. You should really thoroughly read through the job listings. And if it's something that sounds like one you can see yourself in, go mm-hmm. for it. And then you can now tailor your resume, because Pete, we talk about this all the time. Not, you know, you may be a great fit for other jobs, but is that job a great fit for you? And you won't know that until you can really understand, you know, yes. or you thoroughly, if you just like skim the listings or just hit apply, 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 you may end up going into an interview and wasting time, you know, in that whole thing. So, I mean, I stress that a lot too. I mean, like, I love that you pointed that out too. Like, read the job description and yeah. read it through and actually pay attention to things.
Funny. I have to share this because I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
I was reverse engineering with one of my clients who is, you know, Lean Six Sigma black belt, and he's just all about operations, et cetera, et cetera. And as you know, when I read through job descriptions, I read through them differently, right, than just most people, because most people read like magazines or, you know, they're reading blogs, and I read job descriptions all day, right? So, you know, as I was reading through it, it was for a managerial role. It was actually for a director role. And, you know, I'm reading, you know, good with people, blah, blah, blah. And as I'm reading through it, I'm like, oh, there's a lot of really disgruntled workers, and this guy needs to come and put out a lot of fires before he even starts. So, and you know, sometimes you have to read the description, read the words, but really read through to find out what the atmosphere is really like. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
yes.
Especially as you progress in your career.
Oh my gosh. That's so true. I mean, answer this. So if I'm coming into, I'm coming to meet with you, Sarah, and I want to say, hey, here, the job, I want to become, or here's the job I'm going for. Do you ask to see the job listing and walk through it with them?
So yes. So what I ask from my clients, you know, once I have a conversation with them and figured out what their goals are, I explain to them my pricing and my process. And I said, if you want to move forward, let me know. And I give them homework. And so their homework is this. I ask for them to send me their existing resume. I ask for them to add as much data and information, project-based hard numbers that they can possibly, results, right? So if you're in sales, you know, increase sales by 15% year over year for 3 years, blah, blah, blah. Like put a number to things, right? Really quantify your experience and what you've done. And I ask for them to send me links to jobs that they want to apply for that are current, that are live, and that are within the local area. You know, some people are okay to commute around the country or around the world. That's fine. Most of my clients have families. Most of my clients have mortgages, and they're really stuck to the area, right? So I'll say, put in the Philadelphia market area, but and be realistic in your search. Send me jobs that you would love to have. Read through it. if you would love to have, don't send me the mediocre jobs. I don't want to waste your time, my time, nothing. Send me a job that you would love to have. Send me 5, 10, 20 links. I don't care. And I will write their resume based on where they want to go. So that's kind of how I work in a nutshell.
That's awesome.
So the more in common those jobs have, the more effective their resume will be. So for example, I had a client one time and she said, I really would love to have my resume good for human resources and accounts payable. And I said, no, I'm sorry, because you look a little bit like a flake, right? So could she do both of them? The answer is yes, she was talented. But I said, let's pick a lane. Right? Because your skill sets, everything that you need in one of those jobs is going to be very different. Some of them will be overlapping, right? Cross-functional teams, that kind of thing, whatever. But overall, you know, really, you have to pick a lane for your resume, because a recruiter is going to see like, oh, they're a little all over the place. And they're going to wonder, are you going to be staying? You know, are you going to be happy? What is it that you really want in a job? So the more closely aligned the jobs are that you're applying for, the more that should be reflected in your resume. So the biggest thing is soul searching. And if you don't know what you want to do, that's totally fine, but don't start your resume yet.
That was going to be, that was going to be my next question. Like, what happens if you have someone who is in a turning point in their life, but they're like, I want to do what I want to do, but I don't know what that is yet. I mean, what's one piece of advice that if someone sits in front of you and you say, well, Jackie, like, what do you want to do? And I say, well, I don't know. What's your one piece of advice to, you know, the person sitting across from you saying when you hear that?
Right. So, I write resumes, but I also do career counseling, and I love doing career counseling. You know, just for all the reasons that we talked about, you know, not being stuck and to really kind of hone in on what are those person's skill sets. And we go through a lot of different exercises and we have a pretty in-depth conversation about their career to date and what was it that they loved at each job. And then I go forward and I give them some exercises, some exploratory exercises to kind of figure out like, you know, what is it that you really want to do next? Like what would be fun for you? And, you know, I ask them to really just go online and see what's out there, you know, using some parameters. And I ask them to, once you kind of, you go through Indeed or you go through any of these job search engines, bookmark a position. If in the end, don't think too much about it. Don't overthink it. Bookmark all these positions that you think are cool, that you think are interesting, that you think you'd be good at, and that are practical within reason, you know. A lot of my clients are older, they have children, they have mortgages, you know, they have certain, you know, financial goals and requirements, et cetera. So I say, let's go back in the end and see what they have in common. So, you know, you might find that you're drawn to a totally different industry, or you might find that I just love working behind a desk. I had clients before who told me, I don't want to work with people. I hate people. I don't want to be near people. I don't want to talk to people. And I love it because they know themselves. And it always strikes me funny when somebody says that. They're like, I don't want you to judge me. I said, I'm not judging you. I think it's great if you know who you are.
Exactly.
And there's other clients, they feel like if they don't be with people, you know, if they're not with people, if they're not corresponding with people every day, they're going to explode because they're
That's literally me. It's literally me. I'm like, oh my gosh. Because that's one thing that I do know too, is like, I would love to, like, we all have our passion projects and our you know, callings, or, you know, what we're good at, our strengths and stuff. But it's like knowing what you can't do or what you are not happy with is just as important as knowing what you are. And that's something that, you know, Pete and I, we talk about all the time, like, know what you don't want to do first and then cut that out. And then you can, you know, start to focus on some things. And that's a really good exercise that, I mean, anybody can really do. And that's a really good piece of advice. You know, whether you're looking for a job or not, you know, whether it's you think you're going to make a move in 6 months, or you're going to make a move in 2 weeks. I think honestly that, like, that is such a great exercise. Just bookmark it, right? And just, you know, maybe just write them down or write down the job roles and see what commonalities, you know, arise from them and see, okay, well, this is something I definitely want to do. That's like, that's a, it's like a learn, if you're right, it's like a learning process.
there's something that I want to touch on that's so important. I got a call last night. Many of my calls are from wives for their husbands. many. So one of my calls last night, I had three calls. One of them was for a woman for her husband. Her husband has been in the same industry for his whole life, right? So over 20 years. And, you know, he wants to kind of jump ship. He's fed up and he wants to move on. And she said, you know, I don't care if he has to take a cut in pay. And I said, well, let's analyze the industry for a second, right? So for example, so this guy, he has been in cars his whole life, right? So over 20 years in the car industry, he's had every role within every dealership across the board. And I said, well, why are we going to throw away, you know, why are we going to throw away your 20 years of expertise in every single role in an auto dealership? Let's kind of look at the other side of the coin. So, you know, a lot of times they have these dealership management systems, right? And they have just, it's like a CRM for car dealerships. You know, why don't we leverage and why don't we work for a company, take a look and see what's available. Let's look for a company that sells some of these, you know, whether it be equipment or parts or software or dealership management systems. So you're not, you want to still leverage your expertise, because when you leverage what you know and your expertise, your experience, that's how you can really get a better salary, right? Right. So, you know, a lot of times that's where the conversation comes from, because I really need to listen to my clients. I need to hear what they did. I want to hear how they progressed within a company, because when you've been promoted from within, you've worn a lot of different hats. So there's just a lot of really, there's just a lot more opportunity out there than people, than they think.
That's awesome. It's amazing. And I love that you're like, it's mostly like wives calling for their husbands. They're probably sick of him coming home every day. I hate my job. I hate this. I hate that. Like, it's such like a woman thing to be like, well, I'm calling this lady and you're going to change your job. You know, it's so funny, but that's funny. You have a very good point. You're like, listen, there's a reason you stayed in this industry for so long. You might be.
Well, I think a lot of times, you know, people stay for really, really, really honorable reasons. You know, they have children, they have bills, they're responsible, you know, and a lot of my clients, maybe they wanted to leave, but then every time they go to leave, they get a promotion and they get another promotion, they get a job title. It's so hard to leave sometimes when you know you should, but the money is there and the titles are there and, mm-hmm. you know, you just keep getting more responsibilities and more promotions, which is great, but it can be a challenge.
Right. We talk about that too. We had an episode just like that. Like we were talking about, you know, making the leap, or, you know, if you're in a position to leave your current job, like how do you approach that conversation? Because there has been a time where, you know, I was, oh my gosh, I hate confrontation. I just don't want to fight. I don't want to argue. But I love to talk it out. So I remember when I was resigning from my last job, it was supposed to happen 3 months prior to when it actually happened. And when I went to go speak to my boss, I was like, I walked in the door. I was like, in my head, right before I walked through his office, I was like, we're going to do this, go. I had the rah-rah like in my head. And the second I walked through that door, I was like, blood just like drawn straight out of my face. I was like pale as a ghost. And uniquely what happened in that conversation was just like what you said. I expressed my frustrations and I said, I don't think it's going to work here. And then boom, got a raise. I got the attention and the communication that I needed, but it's always, it's a band-aid. And it's like in my head. And for those of you guys listening, like if you're ever in a similar experience as I was there, half a time when you're about to go in that door to have that conversation, your mind's already made up, right? So you've already, the experience I feel like is almost like soured in a sense. But then like a lot of times when you say people a lot of times stay for honorable reasons, they have responsibilities and they think, oh, you know, maybe I can just push down my happiness a little bit further, you know, in place of this that could help my family or help my kids school or, you know, help me, you know, move out of my house, you know? And that's a really good point. That's a really good point you made. So,
you know, that brings up a whole other conversation for another time.
We're gonna have to bring you back.
Well, you know, like asking for that raise, you know, expressing your areas and, you know, that oftentimes females are the ones who they don't ask for the raise. You know, they don't negotiate their salary, traditionally speaking. Now things are changing now, but you know, I've had, I can just count at least three female clients in that exact situation within the last year. And here, you know, for 10 years, they were at a job making the same salary as when they started. They were so frustrated, and they had one woman had another job lined up, and she went in to talk to her boss. Her boss had no idea she was so upset, was devastated, offered her another title, more responsibility, and a $20,000 salary increase. So, you know, sometimes it's just a matter of, you know, we have to be our own advocates, you know, and that's a whole conversation for another day.
Yeah. I mean, I would, like I said, this, we might have to bring you back on and talk about just that whole like career counseling part of what you do and how you help people, not just with, you know, the tangible part of their career moves, but you know, the mental part and the heart that's in everybody. Yeah. And we'd love to have you back on, but I have one more question for you as we wrap it up. LinkedIn.
Jackie?
LinkedIn is like your virtue. You know what? I'm gonna ask my question, but Pete, I want you to expand on this because, like, if I feel like I'm reading your mind.
Pete's been very silent during this interview.
I know. You know what, Pete? Why don't you go ahead and ask the question? Literally, I feel like it might be the same question.
I literally was gonna say the exact. I was like, before we go, I'm gonna be mad at myself if I don't ask this. And I was like, LinkedIn. And Jackie said the exact words that were in my head. We were reminded.
That is so funny.
All right, I'll take lead.
Go for it.
Well, I've been.
You two have such a good synergy, by the way. I've listened to some of your other podcasts. It's fun.
Thanks. Yeah, we've been just getting along from the start. It's been great. So, we're super happy about that. But as far as LinkedIn, like I've been personally very hot on LinkedIn recently. I have to ask. Like, I don't know how involved you get with it. So LinkedIn is a little bit tougher because you can't really tailor your LinkedIn like per job. Like your LinkedIn is kind of just your LinkedIn. Is there any, I don't know, like I'm trying to think of a more specific question without just being like, what are your thoughts? But I guess, you know, what is your opinion from like a high level perspective on, you know, LinkedIn and trying to like really tailor, you know, that to, you know, what you want to do and stuff like that?
You're not going to like what I'm going to tell you because it's going to shock you.
Okay.
So a couple of things. I love LinkedIn. I love, love, love LinkedIn. I think LinkedIn is such an awesome opportunity to put a face to a name, right? When you're applying for a job, you're a real person. I love that fact that we can connect with recruiters. I mean, you can go on, I heard in one of your previous podcasts, you were talking about, you know, it's not really stalking, you know, but you can really go in and you can see the job histories. The person who's interviewing you, have they been promoted from within? Have they been in with the company for 10 years? Did they used to have your role? You know, so there's a lot of really neat things that you can gather before a job interview. You know, it's a nice way to follow companies and it's a nice way to market yourself and it's a great way to connect and network and all of the above, right? So I really do love LinkedIn. Mm. One of the biggest mistakes that I find that people make on LinkedIn is that they add too much information. So LinkedIn is a little bit like dating in that you don't want to reveal all of the great stuff. You know, about yourself. So, but here, this is so important. Now follow me here. We just got done talking about how we reverse engineer the resume to fit the job, right? So if you have too much information on your LinkedIn profile underneath, like in the summary, right? Underneath, so your title, your job, what you did when you were there, great. In that summary, I like to leave it blank for a couple of reasons. One, what you did there and the company's information, that's proprietary. So if you made X amount of $1 million in sales or you like whatever you did, I feel like that's the company's private information that really shouldn't necessarily be let out to competitors and things like that. So it's a matter of respect. Number one. Number two, if you put too much information on LinkedIn, it will limit you. So if you're a salesperson and here you are used to, I don't know, or you're in management and you're handling budgets of $2 million or whatever. And somebody looks at that and they're like, oh, their experience, and they're only handling budgets of 2 million. Well, we need somebody with much more. So here you're so proud of your accomplishments, which is awesome, but it can absolutely limit you for the job post, even though you're absolutely capable of doing that job.
That makes sense.
So
that,
we're all so proud, right, to like list all of our accomplishments and brag on LinkedIn, but you really shouldn't, because that's a conversation to have. That's the proprietary information should be on your resume, not your LinkedIn. And, you know, that's a conversation to have during an interview. But you don't want to limit yourself to getting that in-person or, you know, virtual interview. So important. The right. beauty of LinkedIn, where recruiters really get you, are those keywords. So that the keywords are vital to have on LinkedIn. Really, really important, you know, to be picked up through the applicant tracking system. Why LinkedIn is also awesome is when you apply, and, you know, you talked about this on a previous podcast, is that you don't have... If it has an easy apply, you don't have to go through all the nonsense where you have to regurgitate your entire resume.
Yeah.
Don't even get me started on
so
that.
So annoying.
Very few things bother me more. You know, like I'm grateful that I'm not on that end, right? So I'm not on that end of the application system, but I feel for my clients who do. So another thing, you didn't ask, but I'm going to tell you. So
Dumb.
People go for
also,
it.
People make a mistake of uploading their resume to LinkedIn. Don't do it. Same reason.
I was actually just saying, like, I've talked to Jackie about that before, about like, I was like, don't do it. I was like, upload. Like I always said, and maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I told people to, if you're going to upload anything, try to upload visual things of like your accomplishments, like whether it's a portfolio or, you know, something that, you know, you did at work. That was my thing.
Mm-mm.
You want to hide that?
Sorry.
No, so correct me. I'm not the expert, so I'm asking you.
So I just wrote a LinkedIn profile for a graphic designer, and she like loved purple, right? And I loved this client. Like, she was so lovely. And she said, oh, can I upload my portfolio to LinkedIn? And I said, no, because if beauty is in the eye of the beholder, you could get in front of them in an interview, right? And they say, show me your portfolio, right? You show it then. You know, if they ask for it, then show it. But what if they don't like it and they don't know you, right? They could really meet you, love you, like you're great, you have great energy, and they really, you know, some people are really good at reading people and seeing through people, you know, right away. What if they really liked her, but they didn't like her initial work? Well, that's a shame, because that could really hurt her.
Right. No, that, I mean, that,
and especially with like design, you know, because design work is so subjective. Oh my gosh. Yeah. You know,
of course, that's like, honestly, like that's a good, like I said, this is fantastic to have someone who's an expert in this, because so many people, I mean, like us, like thought we were doing the right thing and thought we were on the right track, that could have just limited us. And that's the whole reason why we do this podcast, because Pete and I, we're learning. Like, we're still like
we
in
all
this
are.
Whole,
yeah.
And everybody is. And that's what's so great about it is, you know, bringing guests on just like yourself to say, hey, actually, you didn't think about this, and here's how it can affect you. And here's like, that was a great point. I mean, as a person in sales, getting that in person is so important, because that's where I sell myself, right? That's that's where I get to sell Jackie Kerrang, right? I could throw my resume out there and I could sell my company and my strengths on paper, but if they don't like what they see, I don't even get the chance to win them over in person. And I love what you said about that. So, I mean, honestly, those great, great advice all around. And honestly, it was such a great conversation. I would love to have you on again, because I feel like you are just this like plethora of knowledge, because, you know, when people are making the jump, or like, you know, whether they are moving on to their passion project, or they are, you know, trying to get to the next step in the ladder to where they want to be, like you said, stepping stones, it's not always going to be entry level to CEO, you might need to up to management, stuff a supervisor, like all those little stepping stones, like you are going to need this information, and that's fantastic for you to share.
Yeah.
Thank
and
you so
I,
much.
Thank you. Yeah. So, but the LinkedIn, I mean, that's a conversation I have with almost every single client, and everyone says that, you know, almost the same thing, you know, and there's other schools of thought out there. That's just my thought is I don't want to limit anybody to a potential interview.
Right.
Right.
No, I agree. That's awesome. I'm glad. Yeah, I'm happy to learn. Like as far as, you know, that stuff goes, you know, it's basically what I've learned from what I've done. So hearing a totally different perspective is great. Like, you know, it's especially, it makes complete sense too, to like kind of, you know, limit yourself. Me and Jackie always joke, I don't know if you heard in one of our previous podcasts, like you said about dating, we're like, it's business flirting. Like, you know, it's like, you're trying to see if the employer likes you. And if you like them, you don't want to like,
you don't tell them your political views the first date, like that kind, yeah. Like that kind of thing. Like,
probably not.
No, but that's awesome. But one last thing, how I want to wrap this up, or, you know, with a little bit, looking back on, you know, when you first started, when you were in the position, you know, teaching, and you're like, I don't know, like, you know, and then you're like, well, how do I monetize what I already do for free, right? Mm-hmm. Looking back, would you ever like give yourself one piece of advice, like 10 years ago, would you like, what's one thing like you, like, whether it's encouragement, you know, reassurance, or just something like, don't do this, you know, what is one thing you think you would tell yourself 10 years ago starting?
Oh my gosh. Well, never in a million years did I think I would even leave teaching, because I loved it. Like, I loved teaching. I was an elective teacher. I had full enrollment in my elective classes. Like, it was so much fun. And, that decision was kind of made for me because I was pregnant with my third child, and the cost of childcare was more than my paycheck. So it was a risk that I agonized over. I agonized over it financially. I agonized over it because I didn't want to miss, you know, the classroom. Like, I loved teaching, you know, I loved my students, and I had like amazing students that were enrolled in my classes for the next year and all of that. But my husband was the one. My husband is a risk taker. I'm not a risk taker. My husband is a risk taker, and he is very much an entrepreneur at heart. And he is the one who convinced me to take the leap, to grow my business, to expand. And, you know, my child is 3, you know, he'll be 4 this summer. So it'll be almost 4 years that I left teaching. And I'm so grateful for this new chapter, you know, and I think that taking, know yourself, but taking calculated risks is a good thing. Not being afraid to, you know, I always tell people, my clients, you're not married to your job. Yeah. It's your job. Right. You're not married to it.
Yeah.
It's so important. You're not, you know, so find your path. And a lot of times people are in the same job for like 10 years, 20 years. And you know, that first leap is the hardest. That's where they're the most scared. That's where they're the most fearful. But once they take that first leap, then they're like, you know, I could do this. You know, they realize that they're not correct.
Right,
So be practical, right? I always don't leave a job until you have another one lined up, unless it's atrocious. But just do it. Just do it. Because there are other jobs out there. Jobs come and go. And, you know, but your happiness and your, you know, you really have to push yourself, you know, and if you're not learning at your job, if you're not appreciated, if you're not valued, those are the biggest reasons why people leave. It's not the money. It's not being valued, you know,
right.
And, you know, that's what I just want to tell employers. Like, sometimes if you just say thank you, it goes such a long way.